With Montana News, I'm Rosie Costin. Environmental regulators are asking a judge to rule that a mining executive violated Montana's bad actor law and to block him from operating in the state. Montana's Department of Environmental Quality sued Hecla Mining's president and CEO, Philip Spaker Jr., today in state court. The DEQ director says the legal action is against Baker alone and not against Hecla, which has exploration permits for two proposed silver and copper mines in northwestern Montana. Baker was a chief financial officer of Pegasus Mining, whose 1998 bankruptcy cost the state about $35 million in pollution cleanup costs to date. The DEQ ruled in March that Baker violated Montana's bad actor law that forbids companies and their principal officers who don't pay for the cleanup of old mines from starting new ones. Investigators say the Crow Indian Tribe cannot account for $14.5 million in federal transportation funding it received over a four-year period. The U.S. Interior Department's Office of Inspector General issued findings today from an audit of a contract that provided federal money to build and maintain highways, bridges, and transit facilities on the Crow Reservation. The audit obtained by the Associated Press shows the tribe could not account for payments made to the subcontractors and vendors between October 2012 and March 2017. Most of the grants were received when the tribe was under the leadership of former chairman Darren Old Coyote. Crow officials in 2016 repaid more than $2 million to the federal government following revelations money for a new transit facility was diverted into the tribe's general budget. Four people have been arrested after a woman was found gravely injured on the Flathead Indian Reservation. Lake County Undersheriff Ben Woods says a woman in her 20s was found unconscious near Lake McDonald in the Mission Mountains east of Charlo on Saturday morning. Officials say it appears a vehicle was involved. The woman is hospitalized in Kalispell, and officials say she is not expected to survive. Lake County detectives, with the help of the Montana Highway Patrol and tribal police, arrested four people who are believed to be responsible for the woman's injuries. A vehicle has been seized as evidence. The victim's name has not been released. Missoula police say they're making progress into their investigation of a shooting incident that left two boys wounded outside a local high school yesterday evening. Detective Captain Mike Collier says police have recovered a small caliber pistol they believe was used in the shooting.
It was located on Sentinel High property, and so we've collected that, and that's been helpful.
The two victims, aged 16 and 17, are still hospitalized with non-life-threatening injuries. Collier says neither attends Sentinel High School. Police briefly interviewed both.
I don't think we have a full picture of what occurred yet. Our conversation with them did not identify a suspect, but we've learned a little bit of information that's helped us continue the investigation.
Collier says there are indications that everyone involved in the shooting incident knew one another. Police do not believe there's an ongoing threat to the general public. They are now reviewing surveillance tape and cell phone records. Anyone with information is encouraged to call Missoula Police Detective Mitch Lang at 406-552-6292. Missoula County Public Schools says there's no indication Sentinel High students and staff were targets of the violence. All Sentinel summer operations, programs, and camps are continuing as scheduled. Audits have found the State Department of Transportation needs to better document its reasons for choosing certain projects and be more efficient in spending maintenance money derived from gas taxes. They found the department in some cases hired contractors when it could have done the work in-house at less cost. The audits also found times when miscommunication led to overspending. A new study funded in part by the coal industry says the shutting down of Colstrip's two newer, larger coal-fired electricity generators in the next decade could have a huge impact statewide. Corin Cates-Carney reports.
Colstrip's two older units, 1 and 2, will shut down no later than July 2022 because of the Clean Air Act lawsuit settlement. But the future of the newer units, 3 and 4, remains uncertain.
Our ultimate preference is for this plant to continue, units 3 and 4, as long as possible.
Webb Brown is the president of the Montana Chamber, which commissioned the study by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research. The study found that if Colstrip units 3 and 4 shut down by 2027, it would mean that by 2047, there would be 3,300 fewer jobs in the state, a loss of more than $5 billion in household income, and a decline of state economic output of over $12.5 billion. Patrick Barkey, the director of BBER, says there are no hard plans for changes to the power plant in 2027 and the analysis answers a hypothetical question of what would happen if those units shut down.
An economy with 3 and 4 continuing to operate is a larger economy.
The BBER study does assume that the electrical transmission line from Colstrip remains open and the construction of a natural gas plant to pick up some of the energy demand. But Ann Hedges with the Montana Environmental Information Center questions the value of an industry-funded study.
You know, we've faced these types of market shifts before, and if you analyze the impact of losing the typewriter industry years ago, and you didn't consider that they'd be replaced with computers, you would have seen a big economic decline. That's exactly what this study does.
Hedges says coal is fading because there are cheaper and more efficient ways to produce energy, and renewable energy sources are outcompeting coal for price. MEIC was among the organizations that settled a lawsuit under the Clean Air Act that resulted in the 2022 shutdown date for Colstrip's Units 1 and 2. The BBER's Patrick Barkey says it stands by its results and is transparent about the sponsorship of their work. I'm Corin Cates-Carney, Montana Public Radio.